Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what do you do when you love your home, but you're afraid of it at the same time?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, if you have a real ghost story, why not share it with us? Call it in 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You can also become a premium subscriber. No commercials, advanced episodes, and access to the archive. If that sounds good, you can sign up through Apple Podcasts. You can sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes, and Kathy Gordon is with me today.
I sure am.
How's your
life
today?
And I'm happy to be here.
How's everything? Everything good today?
You know, it's funny that you would ask that, because the first thing you asked in the intro today is, what do you do when you love your home but you're afraid of it?
That's so your life.
That's my life.
Listen a few episodes back. Kathy had a very traumatic incident here recently over the weekend.
I know. You guys will have to listen to that episode that will be coming up here pretty soon.
But actually, that one's already posted.
Oh, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, listen to it, guys, and you'll understand why I'm scared to go to bed at night. And then, you know, I just think of every place I've lived. How about the Burlington building? I love that building. I still love that building, but haunted like crazy, right? I just think of all the places I've ever lived. Down in Texas, I lived in the cutest yellow house that was haunted. I don't know. It was just everywhere I go.
You know, it's interesting. I've had a couple houses, this one included. And then the one that I lived, I lived in the hood. And it was very, very, very cheap rent. And so the neighborhood was sketchy, but mm-hmm. I got along pretty good with all my neighbors. But the house was fine. I never had any problems in that house. I had problems in the neighborhood. So maybe the universe was like, let's only let her worry about one thing.
No, I have lived places where I didn't love it. It scared me and I didn't want to live there, like in Elma.
Yeah, I did not like that house we grew up in.
That was a very scary house to live in, and I didn't love the house, and I couldn't ever wait to be out of there. Like, to get up and go to school was like, yay, I get to be out of here for the day.
Well, and like when I was a kid, I just spent pretty much half of my time during the day with my best friend at her house.
Yeah. Going someplace else. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
and our
convenient.
Friends didn't want to come see us.
You know, I was talking with a woman today for the Grave Talks, and she grew up in a haunted house, and she wrote a book, and it's a very interesting interview with her, because she's had a lot of experiences over the years and communicating with the dead, and it's very interesting. But, you know, she said something about nobody wanted to come to her house, and so all the slumber parties happened at other people's houses. And I was like, same. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't remember ever having one slumber party at that house.
I remember having one.
I went to them. I remember you having one.
Mm-hmm.
But
most of the time we have a party, like we would go to the park, or it'd be a swimming party, or it'd be a roller skating party. You know, we would go someplace else.
Yeah. And I'm a very, very social person. I have been my entire life. I would be the one who would have a slumber party at my house.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want anybody to come over.
No.
Ugh. So this story, it's kind of interesting. The way it starts, I kind of love it. It just says, hey guys, recently I've been terrified of my own house. I love that. That's how you jump into a story. It says it's over 150 years old and nearly all of the historical information about the house has been lost to time and is missing from local records. What information I do have has either been acquired from the previous owner, told to me by a local man whose grandfather had owned the land when it was still a farm, or I heard it from a couple of elderly neighbors. I've heard that local kids used to throw dances and parties in the barn that was on the property. A previous owner got rid of the barn, but I think that spot might be the source of some residual energy. Sometimes in the middle of the night, If you stand in that part of the yard, you can hear what sounds like a large group of people talking and laughing. This phenomenon can't be experienced from anywhere else in the yard, and it usually only lasts for about a minute. I swear there's something else here too, something darker, much darker. I felt its presence for a while, but no one else in my family seems to feel it all the time like I do. It feels like there's a dark energy where the back of the house was before the house was added onto. It feels like it wants to keep me from leaving the house. I can also feel it on the stairs that lead to the basement, along with anywhere near the chimney from the fireplace in the kitchen. When we cleaned out that fireplace a few years ago, we found an old cross on a broken necklace chain. I kept the necklace, but it disappeared within a few weeks. You know that's an old house when you have a fireplace in your kitchen.
Yeah, that really is.
The chimney goes up through the house in between my bedroom and the room that I will call the blue room. This blue room belonged to the older of my two younger brothers, but he refused to sleep there because he said it was haunted, and sometimes he would see a figure standing in the corner or in front of the door right next to the bed. For a few years, the blue room functioned as a guest room while my brothers shared a room and slept on bunk beds. I had to sleep in the blue room once when I was about 9 years old because I had the flu. I remember being almost asleep and then being startled awake when I heard something stirring in the corner. I remembered what my little brother had said about the room being haunted, so I whispered towards the corner, "Grandfather, is that you? Are you here?" I'd never met my grandfather, but he was the only deceased relative that I could think of. My other younger brother has that room now, but he's too busy reading all night with the light on to ever notice anything. I can also sense this darkness in my own room. Some nights I can see dark shapes crawl along the walls and ceilings out of the corner of my eye. Lately, it's been so bad that I can only sleep during the day. That's really bad. Because if you're young, you are at school, you got things during the day.
Yeah.
Whatever this thing is, it has yet to completely show itself to me. I'm not entirely sure if I want to see it, though. Exactly. Watch out what you wish for.
Mm-hmm.
My friends stay over fairly often for sleepovers, like most normal teenagers, but they're always creeped out here. They always say that they feel like they're being watched. I felt it too, and I've gotten used to it over time, but I never mentioned it to them. Nothing particularly scary happened when they used a Ouija board, but they were afraid even before they started using the Ouija board here. A friend of mine once went to the basement alone to get a soda, but after about a minute, she ran screaming out of the basement and the entire way outside. Once we got her to calm down enough to speak, she said she saw a tall, dark figure while she was down there. Another one of my friends has also looked out the window and saw the floating, disembodied face of a man. She promptly shrieked, flung herself at the floor, and nearly started crying until one of my other friends assured her that it was nothing and that it must have been her imagination. We were about 10 years old at the time, so it's been nearly 6 years since that happened, and I don't know if she still remembers it. Yes, she does.
Yeah,
I will.
Yeah, that's not something anybody could forget.
Even if you convince yourself it was your imagination, you would remember it.
Oh, yeah.
It says, "I love this house, but I don't feel like it's entirely my home. If any of your listeners can give me advice on this situation, that would be fantastic. I'll write in an update if anything new develops, and I have other stories to tell. Thank you so much, Kat from Pennsylvania." That explains right there the 150-year-old
Pennsylvania
haunted house.
Yep.
Of course, it was in Pennsylvania.
There is everything in Pennsylvania is haunted.
It is. It's so old.
It is. Just everything. There, we get so many stories from Pennsylvania. Oh, my goodness. Well, yes, 150-year-old house. That is old. And like you said, if it's got a fireplace in the kitchen.
It's interesting, though, how she loves the house.
Mm-hmm.
But also is afraid of it and doesn't feel like it's her house. And And 150 years old, it isn't your house. I would just guess there are spirits living there with you. And that's definitely what it sounds like. But yeah. But what's tough is that you're 16 years old. You don't really, you can't go anyplace else. You're with your family.
Mm-hmm. And I know what she's talking about those voices, because I've had that happen to me too, where I've been out and you could just hear people talking. And then, it kind of just went away. And I guess I always assumed, I don't know, somewhere, because the way weather works and wind works or whatever, maybe I could hear something more clearly, people having some sort of party somewhere, and I could hear it on some nights and not other nights. But I kind of know that feeling. I think the blue room is the creepiest part of this story. Well, that and the basement. But then anytime you bring up a basement, I can't believe that she had the courage to go down there by herself to get a pop or whatever it was.
When you're young and you want a soft drink, it's like, I'm going down to get one.
Oh my goodness.
I will risk it all for that soft drink.
What do you think about the floating disembodied?
Oh, I think that she saw something like that. Because the woman I talked to just today, she said one of her first memories that she has, and she lived in Oregon, and she looked out the window and there was a man looking inside at her.
Okay, super scary.
She's on the third floor.
Okay, even scarier.
Yeah, so she couldn't, there wasn't a man, and her mom went outside. Might have been the second floor, but anyway, would need a definitely
big ladder. Like huge.
So mom went outside to see if there was any indication that somebody had a ladder. There was nothing like that. And so I she's like, I really don't think it was a man. I think, she just saw the head. So it was very similar to that.
Yeah. Gosh, and you just hate to have that happen to your friends when they're there, because then everybody in the school knows on Monday that, your house is just crazy haunted.
Yeah, and it's an awkward conversation.
It really
it's
is.
Like you don't want to be the kids who live in the haunted house with a disembodied floating head looking at your friends, or chasing your friends out of the basement. We've got this cool area. You can go down and help yourself, go get a soda. And then, your friends run out of your house screaming. You just don't want that. My God.
It does put a damper on the party, when you have to calm people down. I remember this one time we had a couple friends over, and it's in the afternoon after school. We're listening to records and whatever. And one of the friends goes down to the bathroom, the upstairs bathroom, which was always the most haunted place in this house.
Because it had a little attic.
Which is saying something, because it was a fairly haunted house. And she went to the bathroom, whatever, and then tried to get out. And it was like somebody was holding the door, so she couldn't. And she kept pulling it. And then it just started rattling. The handle just started rattling back and forth. Well, we just heard her screaming. So we run down the hall, open the door, and she was mad. Like, don't you ever do that again. Like, she was so mad at us, and we're just looking at each other like we didn't do anything at all. Now, years and years and years later, you're on the radio, and one Halloween, you said you wanted to have a, like...
We did a morning show.
Our other sister and I.
Yeah. It was a morning show.
Get on the radio and just tell ghost stories. So we did. And we told that story that she was really mad. She heard it.
I know, ironically.
And called into you, right?
Uh-huh.
And said, is this that house? And you said yes. And she goes, that was me.
And she said, it was, but it was them holding the door. And I'm like, it wasn't them.
It wasn't.
She really thought that.
We were all down. Yeah. We just heard her screaming. We were all down in the bedroom.
Because that was weird, because we had done, and it might have been two different years, because, we did what every morning show does on Halloween. You tell ghost stories. But right. There was another year where a guy called me, and he's like, hey, he left me a voicemail. What house did you live in? And then the next message was like, wait, did you live in the house by the John Deere dealership? So he was from Alma. So it was like two confirmations about the same house. So I don't know. It's like, it's hard, even though we lived this story, very similar to this story. You know, when she says, can you give me advice on this situation? I have no good advice. My advice was just live through it.
I know
what I mean.
I do. And I want to say, like, and don't open your eyes at night. Like, I just, you know, put the covers over your head.
Spend time at your best friend's house. You know, yeah, it's just
play music,
hard.
Play records really loud. You know, leave the lights on at night. But even then, that doesn't help because
things happen
when the lights are on.
Or they turn them off. So that's what's tough. It's like, I wish there was good advice. And, you know, it might be a situation if this is happening with everyone in the family and the parents know about it. You know, maybe they could do some kind of cleansing of the house. And sometimes that could help. It might just help you mentally knowing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just hard. And you could bring in investigators and see what they find, but that could creep you out even more.
Yeah, because then they just tell you stuff.
Yeah. So that's just a really difficult situation. So my advice is make it to 18, go off to college, live a good life. Don't rent any haunted houses. Just try to avoid it. But it is hard because once you have those experiences, especially as a kid, I think you are more open to it throughout your life.
I do too. I think so.
So let's go to a call. Here you go.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Avi Brand, and this happened in 1997. I was 21 years old, and I was visiting my brother in Chicago. He just lived in a regular apartment building, older, but it wasn't, you know, creepy. It didn't give off any kind of vibe. And I was in his living room, and he went out for the night with his fiance. So I was home alone, and I was watching TV. And the reason I feel silly telling this story is because it does involve a mind-altering substance, but it was just, you know, a little bit of cannabis. Which, you know, I was in college. I'd done it many times before, done it many times since, and had never experienced anything like this. And, you know, I was just feeling good, feeling relaxed, watching TV, and it began to get darker. And the walls of my brother's apartment began to sort of sway and undulate. Nothing you'd expect from just, you know, some simple marijuana. This is very different. I began to see the shapes, the outlines of faces emerge from the walls, kind of protruding from the walls. And I began to get very concerned, began to wonder what was happening. And I thought, maybe there was something, you know, in this marijuana that, you know, shouldn't be there. But what happened next sort of move my experience beyond that and into something totally different. I began to hear a crying, almost retching sound coming from my brother's bedroom. And out of the doorway to his bedroom, I saw emerge a scorpion with a human head who was making this awful crying, retching sound. And he was kind of bouncing around the room, kind of leaping around, just glaring at me, making this terrible noise, and really just terrorizing. That went on for some time. I don't know how long. I just sat there in a state of shock, unable to believe what I was seeing. And in an instant, it was gone. My brother came home. He turned on the lights. The lights had been off. It had gotten dark. And I'd been sitting on the couch the whole time, unable to move, paralyzed with fear. And as soon as he flicked on that light switch, it was all gone. And I certainly didn't feel inebriated to the point that I would have such vivid auditory and visual hallucinations. So I don't know what it was that I saw. And I did a little bit of research about, you know, scorpion, half scorpion, half human creatures. And in some of the older stories, older mythologies, Epic of Gilgamesh, things like that, they're guardians between this world and the next. And they're described as, you know, awesome and terrible to behold. And I've often wondered if something happened, that a switch was flipped in my mind, or I was in the wrong place at the wrong time, or I don't know what. But I was in, you know, one of the thin places for a short time, kind of peeking beyond the veil, and this thing was there to warn me off, and it was absolutely terrifying. And again, I totally understand if you don't use this, because I feel silly even submitting it, but you know, it was very real. To this day, I can't explain it. And I just wanted to share it with you. Thank you.
So do you think it could be weed that was dusted with something else? It had something else in it that caused
him to hallucinate? I absolutely think it could be weed that was dusted with something else.
Yeah.
That would be my guess.
It seems that's the more logical explanation.
That's what I think, too.
If that would have happened to me and I was smoking weed and I had seen something like that, I'd have never smoked weed again, because, you know, or drinking a beer or whatever it was. Like, I would never, whatever, eating chocolate chip cookies and that happened, I would have never had them again, because no. I'd have been too terrified. The association was, I'm eating chocolate chip cookies, I saw this weird thing, which does kind of sound like a hallucination. I could have never gone back to smoking weed again.
No. I never understood people wanting to do like LSD or acid or something because of the possibility of this.
Right.
Exact thing.
Something terrifying that happening.
That just doesn't interest me to have, you know, be scared out of my mind. And then, by something. That's what it sounds like to me. Now, I could be wrong. And I think he is right about, you know, in Mesopotamia, which when he referred to Gilgamesh, they did have these anthropomorphic characters in their art and in, you know, their poetry and their song and things. And they would be, you know, half human, half something else. Or it would be animals with human, you know, characteristics that could walk and talk and do things like that too. So there is a reference for that. It through, well, you know, all over the place you see, have, you know, Greeks have centaurs and half this, half that, or the Egyptians have sphinxes that are different, you know. So we see that references throughout history. But you know, just the walls undulating, yeah, faces in the walls, that seems, all that. It just sounds like a bad trip.
And I don't think you can ever really say paranormal because you were smoking weed. Even if you thought it was regular weed, you might have had something in it. Maybe, I don't know. I remember smoking weed when I was like 18 or something. I had this massive panic attack. It was the most horrifying thing that ever happened. I quit smoking weed. It traumatized me. I don't know what it was. So that's what's weird to me. Mm-hmm. Like, you have that happen, but then you smoke weed again. So I don't know. There's no way you could ever say, because you're smoking weed. And that could be all it takes to debunk that.
Yeah, so and you know,
or I mean, you had maybe, something paranormal happen. While
maybe
you high.
Did, but it's hard to say yes or no if you were, you know, using something that kind of alters your normal perceptions.
So could it be paranormal? Maybe. Could it be the weed? Yeah, could.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think, but he gave us something to think about.
That's right.
And kids, that's why you don't want to smoke weed right there.
Let that be a lesson to you, you young kids out there.
You little kids. So if you have a real ghost story, share it with us. Call in at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You can become a premium subscriber. No commercials, advanced episodes, access to the archive. That can all be yours. Sign up through Apple Podcasts. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.